this week's episode of Never Thought I'd Say This. We're your hosts, Celia Behar and Jody Sweeten. That would be me and the person laughing at me. We might sound a little different today because we are recording remotely. I am up here in Montreal working on a movie and freezing my ass off. And Celia is at home enjoying all the sunshine.
Yeah. And Sabrina is also with us. I was going to say you're freezing your tuchus off, like my grandmother would say, your tuchus.
I think, do you know, there's a thing, there a hat in Canada, like a little beanie, like what we would call a beanie in the States, is called a toque.
Oh.
So your tuchus. The worst pronunciation of Yiddish ever.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. Oh my gosh, Sabrina, did you see that Josh, one of our Never Nationers, Josh Stebbins, who's one of the most amazing artists, was like, I feel like you guys need a compilation of Sabrina laughing in your show.
Right? At least somebody does.
I know, right?
It really does give us some encouragement, though. You know, it's nice to have someone there. Laugh.
Someone was mad about it on Apple. I looked on like the comments in Apple. Yeah, someone was like, whoever's laughing needs to calm down or something like that. And I was just like,
oh my God, whoever's writing this comment needs to calm down.
Yeah, tone it down a bit.
It's okay.
You know what? I like the controversy, guys. I'm like, you know
I know. I was like, that Sabrina's like, watch me now. I'm going to laugh louder, harder, and
now I'm going to make it more. Wait, you guys, before we get into this episode, I have to share this with both of you and therefore everybody listening to this podcast because,
right.
Because we're going to talk about meltdowns and stuff. But my anxiety has been so unbelievably horrible the last few days. So shout out to everyone with anxiety disorders like I have and, you know.
We see you. Yeah.
We see you. I probably am taking on your anxiety. Who the fuck knows anymore? Here's what happened.
Oh boy. This is good because you can't even talk about it.
Here's what I've realized. I was having like a serious panic attack. All right.
Okay.
The last couple of nights has been bad, just panic attack bad. And Dustin had been over for dinner one of the nights and he had gone out to like cover up my grill, like do a couple things outside because, you know.
Cover up my grill? What? Oh, your grill?
Because it was actually weirdly raining in LA. And so I'll go out so you don't have to. So he, you know, covered it, whatever. I'm lying in bed in my full-blown like panic mode, trying to go to sleep that night. Oh, and I was also watching Killing Eve. I'm late to the game. I'm obsessed with Killing Eve. It's so good. But, you know, murders. And,
right.
So there's that. And as I'm lying here in my panic watching a show about murders, which wasn't really helping, I swear to God, I heard someone like tap on my window, like out back.
Dustin was outside covering the grill.
So he had already gone home. It was late.
Oh.
And I have a moment because I have the kids of, oh my God, there's somebody out there and he forgot to lock the back door. So I like jump up and run through my house.
Right, right, right.
Like to be
like every nightmare you have where you're like, I've got to close the door before they get there. Right. That's
exactly.
Always the,
yeah. And I like book. And of course he actually like locked it. And so I'm like, oh, I'm fine. Get back into bed, fine. Oh, and by the way, then a fucking cat came out from under my bed. So it wasn't actually knocking on the damn window. It was the three-legged wonder, tip-tap.
Oh, I was going to say a cat or one of your cats.
One of my cats.
Because a cat would be really strange.
That would be so really fucking strange. I don't need any more
cats. Just a random cat under your bed?
Okay. Yeah, just a random cat. But, you know, no, it was George. So then like two nights later, like I don't learn. I'm still having anxiety. Can't deal with it. And I'm under the covers, like trying to talk myself down because I keep hearing like, you know, creaks, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden I'm like, I realize I'm like playing a game in my own head, which I have decided is called kid, cat, or killer. Like that's
oh my God.
Is it a kid making noise? Is it a cat making noise? Or is someone broken into my house who is going to kill me? I don't know. And at some point, I'm just like, have like the flop sweats, which might also be menopause.
I was going to say that you just have that anyway. That's just your night sweats. That's not even, you're not even anxiety ridden. You're just sweaty.
I'm like, what is wrong with me that I'm so like, I don't know if it's the show or just the fact that I've been like, as things like open up, I'm on the verge of a breakdown.
Oh, I had an anxiety attack 2 weeks ago so bad that Mescal came into the bedroom. I went upstairs, my favorite little blanket. Mm-hmm. I wrapped myself in it, but like from head to toe, like I covered
like
my head. And, yes, like a mummy and like completely wrapped myself in it and was just under a blanket breathing, feeling like my chest was going to explode and my throat was closing. And I was like, I think my throat's closing. And I was just under the blanket. And I was like, I mean, I guess it's not really helping that I'm under a blanket, like the whole breathing thing, but no, still. No, but I, and he came in, he was like, what are you doing? He probably thought I was like, I don't know, upstairs masturbating or something. Like, who knows? You know what I mean? Like when you find a person completely wrapped up in a blanket under the covers and you're like, hi, it's everything's fine. But you know what I mean? He's probably like, what were you doing? I was like, just, you know, having a panic attack.
Right.
Under a blanket.
Well, you could play a similar game as than I do. You could play dog, dude, or death.
Yeah, there we go. Those are
our games. You know, cats, kids, or killer, dog, dude, or deaf.
That's the name of the show.
It really should be.
You have to listen to our producer. She knows what she's talking about. That's the name of the show.
She knows what she's talking about. I know we're talking about meltdowns, and that was just a little touch of meltdown.
That was a touch of meltdown, but there's nothing that's melting up here in Montreal, let me tell you.
You're freezing.
It's so cold. And this movie seems to have all of the outside stuff ever. We have 3 night shoots, like all night shoots out in the snow.
Oh,
it's going to be really cold.
No.
Excuse me. I have to tell you what we did today. It was so amazing.
Okay.
Mescal came in for like 2 days to come visit me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Probably why I'm not covered in a blanket having an anxiety attack right now. Anyway, we drove to, everyone was recommending the spa called Scandinav Spa. Up here in Montreal.
Okay.
So anyway, it was like a Scandinavian spa. It's like all outside.
Oh.
So you do like the hot tub, the cold pool, and then like lay like wrapped in little blankets around a fire pit or like in front of the heater. It was so awesome. And you strangely,
you did the cold pool?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't
like
think
you sit in that. You sit in the, like you go in the Finnish sauna or whatever.
Right.
And I stayed in there for like 10, 12 minutes. And then like right outside of that is a cold dunk where it's just a giant bucket of water. It almost looks like what you would do to play a prank on someone, except you pull the handle yourself. And it's just as shocking though, because it's ice cold water after you've been in a sauna and you dump it over your head.
Okay.
It was a lot of hot. It was a lot of cold. It was a lot happening. But like I'm freezing up here and everything's in French and everyone speaks French and I am now going to know more French than I thought I would when I come home. Yeah. I'm actually getting pretty good at reading it and sort of basically understanding conversations going on around me.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been beautiful, but just very, very cold, especially because we're like about an hour and a half north of Montreal in the mountains. So it's quite cold.
Well, not to throw down with you or anything, but it has been like 54 here.
Yeah, I get, you know what, I get that though, because like California freezing is in, dude, 54 in LA is, I'd be wearing the same coat that I am now, which by the way, I had to purchase a coat here.
I saw that coat, it's cute.
It's a great coat, but I didn't bring a coat with me. Not one, none.
What?
I forgot.
That seems like the only thing you should have brought.
Right, most people be like, as long as I have a coat. And some boots. No, I brought boots and I brought hoodies.
We talked about what coat you were going to bring before you went.
Yeah, I know this. And I wondered why I had some extra space in my suitcase. I was like, you know, so weird. I feel like I packed a lot for 3 weeks. And you still have some room in here.
Oh,
so weird. And I get to Toronto and I'm like getting off the plane and I have a nice, you know, thick sweater on. And then I'm like, oh shit, I don't have a jacket. So the second day I'm there, it's snowing, right? It's about 17 degrees.
No.
And we do our table read and all this stuff. And I go back to the hotel and I'm like, I've got to get a coat. So I find 700 feet from my hotel is a Point Zero. It's a store called Point Zero that has like great
winds. What's that?
It's a store. It's literally, it's all fucking coats. Just coats on coats on coats.
Okay.
So they were having a 30% off. That's great. But I now have to make it 700 feet from my hotel to Point Zero in leggings and a hoodie in 17 degrees. And I'm like, oh my God, it's so cold. I don't have gloves. The only gloves I do have are like cute little cashmere ones, but they're fingerless gloves, like fingerless cashmere gloves. This is how well prepared I am for the snow.
I'm still alive. I went to Oklahoma. I left for Oklahoma right before you went to Canada. I brought 2 goddamn fucking coats
to Oklahoma.
because there was like this much ice and everyone in Oklahoma was like, oh, it's cold and there's ice and there's snow. Where then, of course, like me being from, you know, New England, once I landed was like, dudes, this is not.
Okay, you want to see some, here's, I don't know if you can see outside.
Oh, my God. Oh, people are like falling down on ice out there.
Oh, I don't know who that is.
That was hilarious. Somebody wiped out.
Oh, right. Yeah. They're out there. See, and I can't get over how crazy Canadians are. They're like, they just go about normal business in the snow. Also, what is that? Now there's a gardener? What's happening? Oh, it's damn. Oh, of course it is. It's the snowblower machine. Oh. Like,
nice.
Just.
Nice. I've told the story about how when I lived in upstate New York, which was like right on the border of Canada, it would get to like negative 22 degrees.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We had that.
Yeah. And there was one time where I think I told this, that we had to put down one of our cats and then we couldn't bury it for like 2 days because we couldn't break ground because the ground was frozen. So we had to leave him outside in the garage in a garbage bag.
And he was probably pretty frozen by that time. I mean, I left a bottle of water in the car last night. It was frozen solid.
He was a catsicle, like for sure. It was not good. And like the kids would come out and be like, mommy, what's in that bag? I was like, nothing's in that bag. Get in the car, you know.
Oh. But you didn't tell him the cat was dead? Well, I guess you told him the cat was dead, but not in a bag in the garage.
Yeah. Like that didn't seem like they needed that. That was, you know, that's, well,
I mean,
assaulted euthanasia. Like that's what that is. Like that's not good. So yeah, anywho.
Well, you know what? At least I'm inside. It's warm. I have my nice little Scandinav spa. I felt very European.
Every time you say Scandinav, I like think of Spando Ballet and I have no idea.
Spandex Ballet? What is
Spando
that?
Ballet.
What is Spando Ballet?
This, I think they sing This Much Is True.
It is. Yes.
And no,
this much is true.
Come on, wow. That was Sabrina and I serenading you. This is like the third shows that we've done on.
I'm really glad that I don't know that song. Anyway, why don't we take a break and then let's come back.
And do an actual show and not.
Yeah, we'll thaw out and melt down. Yeah, we'll thaw out and melt down.
Great.
All right, we'll be back.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy.
Look, relationships take work, especially the most important one you can have in your life, which is your relationship with yourself.
Truly, even though many of us will drop anything to help someone we care about, women often go out of their way to treat other people well, but how often do we actually show ourselves the same treatment?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I am the first one to want to jump in, help solve everyone else's problems, talk to them, be their sounding board, all of this kind of stuff. But I tend to be really bad at asking for help myself.
I mean, I wasn't going to say anything, but like a little bit you are. And I know that that is the pot calling the kettle black because I am the exact same way. I'll drop everything for other people. But when it comes to self-care, not so great.
Yeah. And if this resonates with you too, then you need to know about BetterHelp. BetterHelp Online Therapy is a fantastic way to show yourself the same love and attention you show everyone else.
That's because therapy is one of the best things you can do to show up for yourself and perform self-care. And I love BetterHelp because it's just so convenient. And, you know, right now there are waiting lists and all kinds of things to be able to find a therapist. And BetterHelp will help connect you with somebody like pretty much right away.
Yeah, and one of the things that I love about BetterHelp is that they also help people to get into therapy, make it easy and more on their own terms. And they also can help with payments and things like that and scholarship people. So that it makes it really, really great because I'm always saying like everyone needs therapy. We all need it.
Oh, yeah, we really do.
Yeah, BetterHelp is online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist. So you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to.
Not only that, it is so much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours.
Yeah, so give it a try and see why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp Online Therapy.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and never thought I'd say this, listeners. Get 10% off of their first month at betterhelp.com/say this. That's BETTERHELP.com/say this. first of all, I'm going to request that you and I do a dramatic reading of what we're about to talk about.
Yes, for sure. Let's give it the intro a little bit. Yeah. We'll give it the intro.
I stumbled upon this, I think it was last week, and I sent it to Sabrina because I was laughing so hard and you were filming. And also, you know, I'm slowly edging you out of this friendship.
I was not filming you laughing hard. I was working and you were laughing.
Right. So I sent it to Sabrina. I was like, I was laughing so hard I was crying, mostly because I could relate to it. And I was like, I thought we maybe should talk about it on the show. So basically, you know, it's one of those moments that like nobody prepares you for when you become a parent. And when you're pregnant, you are a parent at that point, even though it's different, things are happening. But like, as much as, you know, shows and movies like talk about how emotional you get when you're pregnant, like you really don't understand how that is, like, and how much that's true until it's happening to you. And like, while you're melting down about something when you're pregnant, you even have that voice in your head that's like, stop it, stop it, stop it, you're fine.
Well, it's exactly right. It's like PMS, but like the word, like just on steroids. Right.
Yeah. This woman, Cassie, wanted breadsticks.
As one does, but Pizza Hut breadsticks in particular.
Yeah, Pizza Hut breadsticks when she was pregnant. And this is basically what happened. And we're going to do, you can find the video and perhaps we'll remember to someday post it, but I'm not making promises. So instead we'll do a dramatic reading at this. And by the way, I think she has it up at @candidly_Cassie.
Cassie. Yeah.
On TikTok.
It's hilarious on TikTok. Mm-hmm. So here's their conversation. All right. Are you going to be the husband or Cassie?
Well, Sabrina, would you like to bring us in with the narrator, the video starts?
Oh yeah.
Yes. Hold on.
And read the, you know, the non-stuff in quotations.
I'm just going to read basically what Celia has said.
Okay.
The video starts with Cassie, better known as Candidly Cassie on TikTok, sobbing. At first, we're not really sure why this woman is sobbing, but it turns out she is super emotional thanks to the winning combination of pregnancy and breadstick munchies.
Hey, Cass.
You're crying because you want breadsticks? Her husband asks from behind the camera.
No. She sniffles, face buried in her hands.
You just said you're crying because you're thinking about a breadstick.
That doesn't mean that I want one. I was just thinking about them. Lies, lies.
The camera cuts and comes back on Cassie from a brand new angle. She's still in her feelings about breadsticks. And she says,
I have breadsticks so bad. Oh, wow. So, you know, she got her bread. Well, nobody delivered. She didn't get breadsticks, but she did deliver a healthy baby boy named Carter. She did not deliver Pizza Hut breadsticks, oddly enough. I don't know that I've ever cried over a breadstick, but I have cried over some pretty stupid shit.
Yeah, me too.
And it's usually never like the big stuff. It'll be something stupid. Like I can handle all of the other things. And then all of a sudden it's like, I'm out of dishwasher soap. And I'm like, that's it. I can't do this anymore. But,
yeah. Yep. Some of the comments about people said, like why commenters were crying. I once cried because my husband wasn't hungry.
Last week I laughed so hard I peed. Now this is, I'm not saying this personally, this is a comment. I just want to know. Last week I laughed so hard I peed a little and then cried a lot because I felt bad for the chair. Oh my God. This one is like full toddler material though. I cried because my husband pretended to take a bite of my grilled cheese.
Yeah. That's like when Lulu once had a meltdown when she asked me to cut her string cheese in half and I did. And then she freaked out that she didn't want it cut in half. And she wanted me to put it back together. And I was like, I can't.
I can't. Right.
And she was like, you can. And so I taped it back together. And then she was like mad at me because I taped it and it didn't No fucking shit. It doesn't look the same.
I'm pretty sure there's an entire like IG page or TikTok page, like why is my kid crying? It's like, right, why is my toddler crying? And it's like, because they didn't want the milk and their cereal to touch, but they wanted it in the same bowl or something. Right. I don't even know what to do.
I mean, I feel like there needs to be a page of like, why is my mom crying? Because I had a moment here, my never thought I'd actually of this, of why like random things over the last week of like things I cried over. My never thought I'd cry over planning a vacation because everybody was telling me what they wanted to do but nobody was asking me what I wanted.
That's a legitimate crying reason, though.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know what it is.
Because you know what it is? It's that moment where you're like, I do every goddamn thing. Planning the flights, I'm booking the tickets, I'm taking people here, and nobody cares what I want to do.
Right. But it was like very much of the like, oh, because I'm the mom, so I have to do all of this. Like,
you know, it's weird. I almost wonder where Harper gets it. I almost wonder.
Right? I don't know.
Almost. It's a little bit like it's you.
Stomping around. I gave myself a timeout. I came into my room. I was crying. I was stomping around in circles being like, oh, just because I'm the mom. Like, I'm tired of being the mom.
And then you cry. You're like, I'm the mom. Right. Oh, my God.
Yeah. That it was like a big full like circle of like, yes, I am the mom. That was one thing I definitely, you know, a moment I had recently that I was like, and I kept thinking to myself, planning vacations is supposed to be fun. And this isn't fun. And I'm not having fun. And then I kept thinking,
who has fun planning a vacation?
No one.
Why did my hand just automatically, I don't know, my hand automatically raised in the Zoom. I have a question. Pick me, please.
Your Zoom was like, me, I have fun.
No, it literally, it did. It just suddenly was like, I've cried.
Yeah, you asked a question.
Fucking, I swear, our electronics are really, we're astounding.
Jody's fucking Zoom has a fun time planning vacations. That's my point. I understood that it was stupid because of course this isn't fun to plan a vacation, but my brain and my emotions were absolutely not connecting. So I was like, why can't I just have a vacation? Like I was a mess. And the kids were like, and they were whispering about me. Like at one point I heard Lulu be like, where's mom? And Harper was like, I think she's in her room, like having a moment. And Lulu was like, I'm going to check on her. And Harper was like, no, I don't think you should.
Harper's smart.
Mm-hmm.
Harper's like, don't do it.
Like, do not. And then Lulu came in and she's like, are you sleeping? I said, no. She goes, do you want company? I said, no. She was like, are you okay? And I said, no.
No. No. All of the above. No. Goodbye. Close the door.
Your sister. Get out. Oh my God.
You know, it was interesting because the thing that we're talking about today is like, you know, the stuff that people kind of don't tell you about parenthood that's hard and that might make you cry and that it might be that you have to plan all of the vacations forever for eternity, you know, all of that kind of stuff.
Yep.
And there were some ones in here that broke my heart, but it was, this is from a Refinery29 article by B. Kwame and Courtney Shea, which is titled 40 Women on What No One Told Them About Being a Parent. I thought it was women over 40 on what no one told them about being a parent, but whatever. This one I really, and I've told this to several friends that have been pregnant. This is going to sound terrible and like callous, but it might not be love at first sight. And that's what this one person said. Abby, she's 26 years old. She said, no one told me that it might not be love at first sight. I had so many expectations about what that moment would be like when I saw her for the first time. And don't get me wrong, it was a crazy experience and very emotional, but it was also like, who is this person? And why won't she stop crying? And is she always going to be this red and swollen and weird looking? No one told me that I wouldn't have an instant connection with my baby and that it would take a few weeks for her to smile at me and recognize me for me to fall in love with her. I also didn't understand the toll breastfeeding would take. I'd heard it was hard, but I didn't know how depressed it would make me when it didn't work and how I would have to ice my boobs after every feeding because they were so sore. Next level pain. Yes, yes, all of the above.
Yep.
And yes.
Yep.
I think we've talked about that on the show before too, is like realizing that, you know, yes, it's beautiful and you're like, oh my God, I just birthed this baby and they're amazing and whatever. But like, then you go home.
Yeah.
And you're crying and the baby's crying and you're crying because the baby's crying and you're like, I don't know what to do. I don't know if this is the right thing. What do I do? There's no takesies, backsies, you know, like it's.
Yeah. Oh, I remember being like, my life is over. Also like people that were like, oh, just sleep when the baby sleeps. I was like, come here, let me punch you in the face. Like there were you sleep when the baby sleeps. Like I never was able to do that. Also, I will say on the flip side, when you have your baby and you look at your baby and you're like, oh my God, like the most beautiful thing. You're like, you feel all this stuff like I did. And then I, you know, slipped backward into postpartum depression about later, not realizing that could happen. And then later on after that, looking at pictures that I took, I have to whisper because she's in the other room, but that I took of Harper in the hospital. I was like, oh my God, my baby's so beautiful. And like posted them. And then later on, like looked at them and I was like, oh my God, Harper looked like a weird, like monkey alien. Like, she was all
Weird. Newborn babies are weird. Yeah, they're strange. They're weird.
Yeah, and C-section babies look usually a little bit better than not because they're not mushed.
Right.
But like really Harper looked like an alien. Like she did.
I think that's like really important. And I know we talked about it on the show, but I think it's like a really important thing to remind moms that like, look, you haven't known this person. This person, I mean, and they are a person. They don't know you. There's no connection yet. There's a weird response. It's not, you know, it's a very one-sided, one-way relationship. You know what I mean? It's You give literally everything, your body, your everything. And it takes a while for you to get that emotional connection in return.
Yep.
And I remember crying about that because I remember crying and thinking something must be wrong with me. Like if I'm not, how am I supposed to feel? Or also just wondering like, what am I supposed to feel as a parent? What is this? I'm happy. I'm in love. I'm so excited. I've got the baby, but like, is that it? Like, is there, what, now what, you know?
Or the mommy, like, you know, like,
right?
Then where you're like, wait, I'm the mom. Wait, so yeah, I'm the mom. I wonder if dads go through, dads listening to this, like, can you guys weigh in on this?
Because you'd love to know that.
Like, I mean, because it's a different bond anyway, like, you know.
Dads that we have listening, correct me if I'm wrong, but I wonder if it's a happier experience for that because they're not, yes, they're helping out with care and good dads are like in there and, you know, making sure the baby's fed at night and doing all this stuff. But if you're exclusively breastfeeding, there's not much, you know, dad can do. Maybe he can help you and stay up with you and stuff. I think that realization for a lot of moms, like that it just kind of falls on your shoulders a lot of time is overwhelming. And I wonder for dads if it's not quite as overwhelming because the expectation also.
I'd wonder that about same-sex partners also, you know, like,
yeah,
because I'm not one. I don't know what that experience is like, you know, one, if there's two women and one has carried the baby and is nursing, how does the other one feel? Like, is it the same sense of responsibility, like, or not responsibility, but that same like, woo, like hitting you in the face because hormones are.
I wonder if it's different for women versus men. I wonder, you know, how much our societal expectations play into it, all that kind of stuff.
Right. And I would wonder about, you know, people who use surrogates and then get the baby and that's got to be a whole other situation. Like what?
Right.
Newborn is an overwhelming and crazy no matter what.
For sure.
You know, like no matter what, obviously when things are like, you know, squirting out of you and falling out of you.
Wow. That's the most lovely. You're not wrong.
You're really selling it, man.
Being pregnant is sexy, let me tell you. And then that right after you give birth, you've never felt sexier. Like,
it's true. I mean, I still wear mesh underwear when I really want
to. Let me throw on my mesh underpants and maybe even put on some nipple shields. And
or don't, and then leak all over yourself. Also, a thing that no one tells you is that you might be in a restaurant and suddenly milk yourself.
That's right.
Yeah, and you just go, oh, look, I'm lactating a lot.
Yep. Like, I mean, honestly, like, yeah, you don't even know what'll set it off. I remember one of the cats would cry in a certain way right after I had Harper. And for whatever reason, that would make me have like let down. And I would be like, whatever is happening is fucking weird. Like,
all I know is that just reminds me of the line in Meet the Fockers where he's like, I have nipples, Greg. You milk me or something, or whatever. The cat has nipples or something. Yeah.
It kind of feels like that. Like everything's just so weird. And your body feels foreign to you. And it takes you so long to get it back, you know? And that those are things that people don't tell you about. And even if they do, it's like, you can't even wrap your head around it.
After I had both of my girls, I noticed my hair shedding so much. Oh my gosh. I know it's like a really common side effect of childbirth, but that did not stop me from being concerned that like all of my hair was falling out. And I feel like it hasn't stopped. My girls are almost 14 and 11 now. And I feel like I'm now tearing my hair out instead of having it just fall out.
Yeah, well, that is because after pregnancy, your body is still shifting and recalibrating and doing things that, you know, don't feel exactly normal. And one of the alarming side effects of all those hormonal changes can be excessive shedding and apparently having a teen too.
Yes, exactly. I definitely suffered from a lot of shedding and my hair is naturally pretty thin and fine anyway. So you know, thankfully I found Prose to help stop the shedding cycle and grow back my hair.
I love Prose. It's so great. They specialize in custom hair care, and now they also make custom hair supplements that are personally tailored to address your specific cause of shedding.
Yeah, they take into account things like hormonal changes, stress level, diet, and all the rest of it. And the result is customized supplements guaranteed to help you grow thicker, longer, softer hair in record time.
Yeah, I've been taking them for a while and I just love them, and I've noticed a huge difference. They are made with clean, safe, and natural ingredients. Prose hair supplements are just two capsules that you take daily, so it's super easy.
Yeah, the first capsule strengthens and rebalances the scalp to reduce shedding, and then the second capsule helps to spark fuller, faster growth deep in the follicle.
Better yet, Prose supplements are free from drugs and synthetic fibers and DHT hormones. All the formulas are gluten-free, dairy-free, nut-free, vegan, and cruelty-free.
And in fact, multiple studies show that over 90% of women taking Prose hair supplements saw less shedding, more growth, and improved overall appearance in just 90 days. So to try your own custom hair supplements, you'll get 15% off if you get yours at prose.com/say this. That's prose.com/say this for your free in-depth hair consultation and 15% off custom hair supplements. This one is from No Name Provided, but I like what she said. Again, I guess the thing I was the most surprised by is having a baby.
Yeah.
I mean, it's true. Like, you know, and as it gets closer to your due date, you do kind of have that thing where you're like, oh, I've got to get this watermelon out of here.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Right.
There's two ways that this is happening, and neither one of them sounds super appealing.
No.
And it's too late now.
Right.
But, you know, she says, I guess the thing I was most surprised by is having a baby. That may sound weird, but there's so much emphasis put on the pregnancy period, how things should be progressing, what labor will be like. And there's way less conversation about what it's like to take a baby home and suddenly be in charge of this tiny person. I thought I'd be fine because I was 7 when my sister was born and I grew up taking care of her, which sounds really funny now. I remember getting home and just thinking, oh my God, what is normal for the first 24 hours? I can say now that I wish I had spent zero time making a birthing plan and all my time prepping for having a baby. Our society is so individualistic now that we've lost a lot of collective caretaking traditions. I feel like you used to grow up watching, you know, grandparents and parents take care of their babies. New moms probably feel more supported in places where it's still that sense of tribalism and community. And I would imagine, I mean, it's true. Like, I know when they get older, you need that, you know?
And like little things, like she touches on, like, I remember my sister and I used to talk about this because my mom used to say it to both of us. Like, we had kids and, you know, our babies or, you know, you newborns even. And my mom would be like, well, why don't you guys just, you know, go and relax, like lay down, read a book. I'm like, I'm going to punch you in the face. Like, are you kidding me? You think I have time to like relax and read a book right now? I don't read a book. I'm like, by the time I get a baby to sleep, which is usually like on me, I just stare at a wall. That was not something that like my brain couldn't process that.
Well, you're not relaxing and reading a book. You're usually like, now I have to do things for myself, like shower and this.
Shower,
and,
you know, clean, do the dishes. Maybe I got to get some food done, ready in me. I don't know. You know, stupid things like that. I think you don't realize and how much you resent sometimes your partner because they're doing things that you're like, I can't do. And somebody actually wrote this and I will never forget. This is one of the biggest meltdowns I think I ever had when I became a mom. Gabby, 47, said how much I'd still want to be an individual and not just a mother. I love my daughter, but I'm determined to make time for me. Kids grow up to live their own lives as they should. You deserve yours too. I remember because I was nursing and people lie to you when you're going to breastfeed. They're like, baby eats every 2 hours. What? It was like every 45 minutes. I mean, it depended on what throat spurt.
On the day, on the day.
Right. And I was like, I had told myself 2 hours, like had attached to that. And then when it wasn't happening and my husband at the time, whenever she was crying or whatever, it was like, that was his default, would be like, well, maybe she's hungry and like hand her to me. And I just needed a minute. Now, he was probably right. And at the very least, it was comfort. It was satiating, like whatever.
Right.
By the time she was, you know, 2 months, my go-to was always like, I don't know if she cries, I like put my boob in her mouth. I have no fucking idea what to do. Like, if it works, fantastic. In that first 2 weeks, I just remember sobbing. I had a full-blown meltdown and was like, I am such an independent person. I've always been such an independent person. I don't know how to handle being tethered to another human.
Yeah.
Who can't even tell me what they want.
Right.
You know, I couldn't go anywhere for very long. I couldn't do anything for very long because I needed to be available to be a baby.
You know, I feel like babies are really passive aggressive. They cry. They don't tell you what they want. They just let you know. I mean,
they're like little Jewish mothers, just right out of the gate.
You said it, I didn't.
I know.
But yeah, like, I love some of these comments too. But yeah, being an individual and not just a mother, like another comment at the bottom talks about that too, about wanting your own alone time and still wanting your space and like the guilt that you feel about that, about wanting to be an individual because you're told that like once you're a mom, you're only a mom.
Mom and maybe even parent again, like I'm going to make it more general just
because
it does change. And actually one of the other comments I really like, this is still true. And clearly I was talking about it before the show even started, like, you know, bleeds into relationships at time, at least mine, which is, you know, once you become a mom, feeling like you don't have as much to talk about with friends of yours that don't have kids.
Right.
This woman wrote in, Katie, she said, I have less to talk about when I'm hanging out with my friends who don't have kids. I can only imagine how obnoxious that sounds. But the truth is that at this stage, those are the things I think about. And the media I consume, it's mostly motherhood stuff. I don't know about how many blowjob stories I can hear anymore. I call it the sad Samanthas, like the from Sex and the City. I guess where I'm at, that's where I'm at in my life right now. I just can't relate. I do remember that happening because I was one of the first of my friends to have
but
kids.
I feel like if you're not getting or giving any blowjobs, I feel like that would be like, you'd just be like, let me just hear about it. Like, let me just at least tell me the stories. That let me know that someone's getting something. Like, let me just at least feel a little bit better. You know what I mean? Like, tell me, what's it like in the world of women?
Bullshit. I don't care what penis. Thank God I didn't have a boy. I would have been like, get that penis away from me. I just was like, that's the thing that got me into this fucking thing in the first place. Like, I didn't want sex. I didn't want to have anything to do with any. I was so not comfortable in my own body. And like my hormones.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I didn't want to have sex, but I wanted to at least know that like people were
other
still
people
enjoying.
Did.
You know what I mean? That it still was being enjoyed somewhere. That it wasn't that it wasn't just all bad.
Well, yeah, I think like still to this day, like I know I've made jokes about it on the show before, and Dustin and I, is coming with us to New York. And like I was saying before the show started, there are things that I'm like, why don't you understand? Like he's like, oh, we'll just take a red eye at 1 a.m. and I'm like, with 2 kids. Really? It's not like they're babies, but like Harper fell asleep at 9 o'clock last night and Lulu goes to bed at 9:20.
They stay up later than I do.
Yeah, that's true. But so do most people. I mean, I won't be up at 1 a.m. I'm like, you still don't understand. I will have to set my alarm. I will have to get these 2 grumpy kids up. I will have to drag them to LAX. I don't want to do that. And the things where your priorities change and like how it's different when you're a single person who has not had kids and they don't think of, I'm like, I know that the extra like $45 to leave out of, you know, Burbank and fly JetBlue, which gives you more legroom and chargers and a screen for 6 hours to New York. To him, he's like, I'll just put on my headphones and like fall asleep, you know?
Right, you're like, right.
These two are not gonna do that. And so he's like, I don't want to justify $50 for extra legroom. And I'm like, how about $50 for my fucking sanity so I don't kill you at the end of a 6.5 hour fucking flight?
Has he prepared himself for the constant asking of how much longer on a flight? Because if you've never flown with kids, that's enough to make you want to have a meltdown. Is when they're like, are we there yet? And you're like, we've been on this plane for 90 minutes.
Right.
It's a 6.5 hour flight. You're going to have to keep it together.
Right. Buckle up, buttercup. Like, mm-hmm. Come on now. He's not even going to sit with us. That's the other thing. But listen, when he said he wanted to go on this trip, I was like, it's a long trip. We've got kids. They're going to be moody. They're going to curse in front of you. So calm down. They're going to get tired and be grumpy at times. Like, this is a lot. Like, you know, I'm used to it.
What if Dustin has the meltdown while you're on the trip? What if he starts crying over a breadstick? He's going to cry over a bagel in New York.
He literally said to me, well, I'll probably swear and I'll be grumpy and moody too. So it won't matter. And I was like, well, that's actually
you're like, this sounds great. I'm so glad I'm planning this for everyone to be an asshole.
Like I said, that's why I went into my room and stomped around. And now I felt like my mother because I was like 10 seconds away from walking back out and like looking at them all and being like, you know what? You all take your own trip. I am going to go and be on my trip by myself where I want to go. I almost went there, which is what my mom would have done.
You know what? I now relate more and more to that moment because I remember my mom being like, oh my God, this is every day. And now I'm like, now I get it. I get
it. Yep. Again, things people don't tell you about becoming a mom. At some point you're like, oh. I'm almost my mom.
I was on the phone with my mom about something last night, and she was like, preparing for the worst, right? Like, she called me and was like, this is what's going to happen. I don't want this to happen. If this happens, this is going to be bad. I can't, you know, can't do this. I was annoyed because I was like, oh my God, why is it always worst case scenario? And then I literally was like, I get off the phone. And it's just like kind of a family trait. And I was like, yeah, we kind of do go for like doomsday worst scenario. Like, yeah. What's the worst thing that's going to happen? And then it annoyed me that it annoyed me.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, man. Like, I was annoyed that I got annoyed at myself. I don't know. It was a whole cyclical thing.
I hear what you're saying. Exactly. Because like in my brain, I want to be my living in filth 27-year-old, didn't give a shit, you know, out doing whatever, 22-year-old.
You still want to be a living in filth 27-year-old?
No, but like, I wish I didn't care and like need things the way I need them to create organization
right.
I had to figure out to calm my crazy, you know, cat killer kid brain.
Right.
Like, but when I lived in Manhattan and I was like, you know, I lived in with my friend Minda and we like didn't give a crap and we ate, you know, chipwiches for dinner every night and our place was kind of filthy and it was just like, ooh. And now I'm right. Like, this pillow goes like this and that one's upside down and I have to they commit, you know.
Yeah. And now when did we become those old ladies?
I mean, that's what I crochet, you know, while watching the fucking Golden Girls on a Friday night. Like,
wow. Mm-hmm. You said that publicly. I mean, you know what? I'm not even knocking it though. It sounds kind of appealing.
Yeah. With a cup of tea next to me. It's no joke. Like I am 90 fucking years old and I don't really give a shit. These are the things no one prepares us. Oh, and by the way, speaking of which, I like caught a glimpse of myself in the mirror the other day and was like, oh my God, from a certain angle in a certain light, I was like, I look like my mom. I look like Bonnie. And I got to tell you, I cried. I totally cried. Like, I was like, I don't want to look like my mom. Like, I'm right as I'm creeping up in my age, I'm just noticing like little things where I'm like, wow, there's just things that, you know, wrinkles and the bump in my nose, which I've never loved, but your nose continues to get bigger. And then my skin is just sort of more like, you know, sunken in more. Like, I'm almost fucking 50. I get that. But, and oh my God, and shit.
Oh boy, you're about to tell on yourself or something. I feel it. This is a moment, everyone. Ladies and gentlemen, listen up. What did you do?
It's not what I did. It's that I had a moment, again, things that people don't tell you, of recognizing when I was in Oklahoma with Dustin and his family, hanging out there and his parents around, and in my head, still being like, I'm 30 something, I'm 20 something, and I have a boyfriend. And then having the realization that I am almost 50, I am now 3 years older than my mom was when my mom married my stepdad.
Uh-huh.
Seeing that relationship as a teenager and how she would act and being like, oh my God, I hope I don't act like that. I'm older than she was when she was with Harvey. And my mom used to be like, I'm going to Harvey's gig. He wrote a new tune, you know? And like Dustin is in bands. And I'm like, I've said gig. And my sister and
But all musicians say that.
Also, it's LA. Everybody goes to gigs.
Fine. Like, ooh, it like tapped into like a thing where I'm like, I'm 48 with a boyfriend. Like,
that's the fucking norm, man.
So what?
But my kids are looking at it.
Better than being 48. I mean, and
48 with someone you hate. Yeah.
48 with someone you hate. Or 48 and miserable. You're doing okay.
It's still like the thought that my kids and his nieces probably were like, oh, they're like old people. You know what I mean? Like I could just see that where I'm like, I still feel like I'm wearing a Kiss t-shirt. And like, I still think I'm younger than I am. And then like looking back at my mom, knowing that my mom thought that too. And like how we viewed her and being like, ugh.
No, you know what though? Here's what I'm going to say. Fuck those young people that think that. That's what I'm going to say.
Well, the Oklahoma kids are probably not thinking that, to be fair.
Well, look, maybe they are thinking of us like we're old people, but who cares?
Yeah.
Because I was just reading this great article, and I know we've totally veered off the topic of things that people don't tell you, but it made me feel great. It was this whole article about people who went through either a style transformation, women particularly, but some men, that finally really accepted themselves in their 40s, 50s, and 60s and like changed their style. This one woman was like, I always dressed like to fit in and I just wanted to be, you know, sweatpants or jeans and t-shirts and just, you know, whatever. And like her picture now, she got these bright red glasses and this awesome hair. And like, you know, she has these big skirts that she wears. And she was like, and I love it. I wasn't this person when I was in my 30s. And then suddenly I realized, why am I waiting? If that's what I want to be, why am I not doing it? And she said, and somewhere in my mid 40s, I just kind of found who I was and like started wearing what I wanted to wear. And I don't care what other people think. And I think that's actually super important. You're not too old to like change yourself.
Right. Well, then I guess on the flip side, I get you're not too old to also like decide that you can still wear what you always wore. You know, I think that's another thing that like.
Yeah. And look, like, body positivity now. Fuck it. Wear some breast shields and mesh underwear out and rock that shit if that's what you want to do.
But put on a pair of heels. You know, just to
complete the look. Well, good God, you're not going to wear mesh underwear without heels. Come on.
Yeah. You're not animals.
Yes, Sabrina.
No, I think that millennials also didn't ever stop dressing how they did in high school. You know what I mean? It is now the norm.
And I have not stopped dressing like
I was. But truly, millennials are still wearing like hoodies. You know what I mean? And I know you are.
Yeah.
So, but I'm just saying like, it is the norm now. It would not be like an older person not dressing. You know what I mean? It is the norm. It's how we like to dress. Like I didn't suddenly turn 40 and have to get slacks.
I think that also though varies like in place to place, because I remember when I was in upstate New York, when I was pregnant with Harper and had her, I remember someone I worked with being like, you're going to cut your hair soon. Right. And I was like,
right. People always say, I'm like, no, I'm not.
Yeah. I was like, I mean,
first of all, if I cut my hair, I should just might as well just shave it. Cause I'd be bald by that point.
Same here. I cut my hair and I get house head. I think I've talked about house head before, which is like,
what? No, you have not talked about house head before, because I know that I would have made a is it like road head? I know I would have made that joke, and I'm pretty sure I haven't. I'm pretty sure I haven't made that joke. So like, no, you haven't talked about house head. Dear God. What is it? And it's obviously not what I'm thinking.
All right. I'm going to try to create it for you. You can describe it to the people. If I cut my hair, as people with curly hair know, when you cut it, it goes boink, like it bounces up, right?
It has less weighing it down. Okay.
And so if I was to cut my hair, it would look like the top of a house. Hold on. Look, it would look like this.
The top of a house?
Like
with
a pyramid,
roof?
Pyramid hair.
Yeah. Oh, it would look like... Right. It would look like the top of a house that you drew in kindergarten with like the weird little shape.
Like a triangle, because it would just go like that.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that's not a look.
But you've seen it on you know what I'm talking about. You know somebody with this haircut that I'm creating where they are like very...
Here's our video for the week. Is Celia trying to create house head? Oh, Jesus.
I look like the choreographer of the plays in my school.
Welcome to house head.
Welcome to full hair house. Full house hair. Full hair house. House head hair. I don't know.
I could make my mom. I'll make my mom sexy face along with the house head. Hold on. This is just.
Didn't this just make you cry? Why are you doing this now? Oh.
Every picture at my wedding was that. Is that face?
I hope that's how you take pictures with me for my wedding.
Yeah. I'm going to cut my hair like that too. Is that all right?
Oh, perfect. That's just what I need.
And then wear a tiara. If that's a cool. Is that cool?
If that's a cool, what are you?
It's a me, Mario.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. Luigi, let's do it.
Oh, okay. I don't know what the fuck is going on with me. Anyway, things that people don't tell you.
Don't tell you is that you become your mother.
You become your mother. I never cut my hair. I'm not planning on cutting my hair.
No, I'd just like my hair to grow at this point. I'd be happy for. I'm not cutting it. It barely grows.
You have 2 strands.
It's 3. Thank you very much. And they're all working very hard at any given moment. Oh, boy. Well,
as usual, we've gone off the fucking rails. Well, I didn't change the way I dressed. I'm not cutting my hair. I might have more meltdowns.
Oh, I'll definitely have more meltdowns. My perimenopausal PMS hormones now are like wildly out of control. And I'm just a crazy person. I think that's why I was under the blanket having a panic attack, because it was like a few days before. And I was like, why is everything terrible? Oh.
Yeah. I feel like that all the time. That's another thing that Jody and I can prepare all of you out there for is all you moms who are young, how you felt when you were pregnant. You get to feel that way when you are going into menopause, perimenopausal. You still get your period, so you also get PMS, which is fucking awesome. And I have like night sweats. I don't know if you do. I have hot flashes. I'm like a fucking wild.
I won't admit it publicly, no matter what I.
Oh, no. I'll fucking tell people.
I'm just kidding.
I am like Mr. Toad's wild ride of fucking hormones at this point. Like,
I mean, I feel like you could just, not even of hormones, you could just, you are Mr. Toad's wild ride.
That is true.
With Dustin being Mr. Toad. Oh boy. And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, this has been our podcast. If you don't like it this week, I'm going to blame it the cold and that I haven't been able to, you know, properly process things. I don't know what you're blaming it on, but
I'm blaming it on hormones like I always fucking do.
There you go.
And my mom, because why
sure,
not?
Why not?
And I mean, she listens to the show apparently here and there. So sorry, Mom. I really want some fucking Pizza Hut breadsticks now.
Ooh.
And I may actually have to go get some.
I'm looking, so quick little note. So on set, they were like, is there anything that you wanted like at the end of the night, like a little, you know, sweets or something? And I was like, I mean, I really like bananas and Nutella. So I now have a stash of several baby Nutella jars.
Ooh.
And they're the little baby ones. So they're it's like one, like I can go through one and that's it. It's yep. One per banana and then I'm done. But I also have like 12 bananas in my room right now. And I don't know that I'm going to eat them all. That's what I'm going to, I'm looking at that because that's basically what I'm going to have for dinner.
Are you going to like build something with them? Like, I mean, you're like, I don't know if I'm going to eat them all.
How am I going to eat 12 bananas?
I don't know.
First of all, I don't have 12 jars of Nutella. So that's the problem.
Maybe you and Mescal can play make it like a Jenga with bananas.
He doesn't like bananas.
No, I know, but you can just play the game. Just stack them all up and see who can pull the banana out without like letting the bananas fall down. Sounds like a sex game all of a sudden. So
I was just going to say, I was like, that sounds like something. Yeah. So you can pull the banana out.
I posted the conversation of our text messages when you were there and I was in Oklahoma and I was eating chocolate and you were eating chips. We told each other that. And then within minutes you got chocolate and I got chips.
I was like, oh yeah, that sounds good too. Yeah. Anyway, thank you everyone for listening to this week's episode. We would love to hear from some of our listeners out there, dads. What were things that, you know, that you didn't expect when you had kids? We'd love to hear from some same-sex partners, what that dynamic is like.
Transgendered parents as well.
Absolutely.
Out of my element, please. I'd love to know what's going on. We'd both love to know what's going on.
Yeah. We always want to know that experience and we always want to read comments and emails from our amazing listeners and share various points of view. So we would love that. Anyway, you guys, thank you so much for listening this week. If you want to check out our YouTube channel, new episodes come out on Thursdays. You can find us Never Thought I'd Say This on YouTube. You can also find us at Never Thought I'd Say This on Instagram and Twitter as Never Thought I'd. You can find me at Jody Sweeten.
You can find me at The Celia Behar. I am wildly impressed that you just got all of our platforms out and all of the tags right. Maybe the cold has shocked you into...
No, you know what it is? It's that I have to remember things over the next 2 weeks. I'll tell you, here's a story about me. I came home, I remembered 12 pages of lines, all this stuff, everything, the whole day, 12-hour day, on it. Remembered continuity, everything. I came home, I took my socks off, I threw them in the trash. I meant to throw them in with my dirty laundry, but no, I threw them in the trash, walked away, walked into the bathroom and went, I think I just threw my socks in the trash. So it's just that I can hold it together for short periods of time and then it all completely falls apart. So I think I've reached the end of my being able to hold it all together and I have to leave now.
If ever that was a metaphor for this podcast, that's what it is.
We pull
it all together and throw the socks in the trash.
Exactly. And remember, you guys, keep killing the parenting game.
And not your kids.
And don't put your socks in the trash.
'Never Thought I'd Say This' with Jody Sweeten and Celia Behar is an Audio Boom original.